In the course of a lifetime, we're often privileged to attend the Levaya, the Spadim, of extraordinary people. Tzaddikim, the Tzidkonios, righteous men and women, Talmidei Chachamim, scholars, Rosh Yeshivas, Rebbeim. But it's not often that we have the privilege to be involved in Divrei Hesped, involved in the eulogy of a colossus, of a giant. Someone of epic historic proportions. We're all familiar that in the era that we call the modern era, there have been several movements within Judaism, to be mechazek, to strengthen, to inspire. There's the Hasidus of the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, his disciples and their disciples afterwards. There was the Musar movement, Rosh Salanter. There was the Torah in Derech Eretz, Rosh Shamshon Fol Hirsch. There was the Yeshiva movement here in America, Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, the many great Rosh Yeshivas. But the latest, let's say, movement within Judaism, the Baal Tshuva movement, is one that we're privileged to be involved in one form or another. And with great trepidation, I come to speak about one of the principal founding members of that movement, Goyen and Tzaddik Rav Noach Zatzal. I'm reminded, the Medrash speaks of Noach, Rav Noach's namesake, speaks of Eila, told us Noach, these are the generations of Noach. Noach, Yish Tzaddik Tom Nehoyu B'Doroysov, he was a righteous, he was a pure, righteous person in his generation, Esalakim Esalach Noach, and he walked with God. Anyone knows Rav Noach, of course, knows all of this is true for the present day Rav Noach. I remember I was speaking to Shmuel Avigdor Feivelson, the Rosh HaKoil in Tzfas. He learned with him in the Mir Yeshiva. He says, Rav Noach is an Oyved Hashem. But there's another parallel, several parallels to his namesake. The Medrash, commenting on that verse, says that Noach's name is mentioned there three times because it alludes to the fact that Noach lived, the original Noach, lived in three worlds. He lived in a world before the Churban, before the destruction of the deluge. He lived in the year of the Churban, he lived within the Churban, the destruction. And he saw a whole new world after the destruction. In a certain sense, same could be said about Rav Noach Zatzal. When he grew up, he was born, the world was a very different world. The main center of Jewry, of scholarship, of saintliness was in Eastern Europe. America, even though it had a large population, and there were many Jews here who kept kosher, many had a connection to an Orthodox synagogue, but it was a veritable wasteland. There were virtually no yeshivas, handful. But he witnessed, from Noach, destruction of Eastern Europe, It was in his lifetime. He saw a whole new order that America and Eretz Yisrael became Mekomos HaTorah, became centers of Torah. And he saw another destruction as well. Basically, the destruction of Western Jewry, the spiritual destruction, to such a proportion that it seems, at least according to social scientists, demographers, that a full 90%, 85% of American Jewry will not be here in the next 50 years. Their descendants will no longer be Jews. As we saw in the video, that Noach, our Noach, felt that he had to be involved in saving that world. Avraham Kalmanovich, famed, renowned Rosh Hashmir, Rosh Hashiva, explained the Medrash regarding Noach. The Yeshua Ach Noach, only Noach remained in the Teva, in the Ark. And the Medrash says there's an allusion to the fact that it says Ach. The word Ach has its connotation of pain. Noach was pained. So that whole year, Noach had to serve the animals in the ark. And once one of the lions was not fed on time and attacked Noach. He was wounded. And Rav Kalmanovich explained, why did Noach have to suffer so? Because he delayed feeding that lion. And he explained, that lion wasn't a simple lion. That lion was a survivor. That was the last of the lions. The progenitor of a whole new generation of lions. You have to deal with those lions very differently. Our Reb Noach saw us as that we are all survivors. We are all progenitors of a whole new generation. And he treated us as such, with a tremendous love, tremendous care. And didn't make a difference what the background was and how they looked. He created a teva. Originally, he did work outside of a teva. I know in my shir in Ner Yisrael, I had one of the bochrim in my shir, this goes back in 1963, was Mekurv through Reb Noach. It was already 1963, before a formal yeshiva. And he built a teva, Zeisha Teira, and unlike Noach, who had the privilege of having all those who were about to be saved come on their own to his teva, Noach had to ingeniously create whole systems, a Jerusalem fellowship, a this and a that, to bring the potential survivors into his teva. He was blessed with tremendous genius. I had the privilege of learning under Reb Noach's older brother, Reb Yaakov Zatzal. It's a family of genius, family of creativity. A family, says, where the main guiding principle in life is the achrayas hatzibur, responsibility we have to the rest of Klal Yisrael, the rest of the Jewish people. I'm reminded, there's a Gemara in Bava Metzion, Pehei Amud Beis, that speaks about some of the greats of the period, at the end of the period of the Mishnayos, beginning of the period of the Talmud. And it speaks about Rabbi Chiya, and describes a conversation that Rabbi Hanina had with Rabbi Chiya. Both were the primary disciples of Yehuda Hanossi, the editor of the Mishnah, the leader of Jewry at the time. And Rabbi Hanina told Rabbi Chiya, they were arguing, he says, If the Torah would be forgotten, I would be able to reconstruct it through my logic, through my pilpul. And Reb Chiya responded, if the Torah will be forgotten, says, I'll ensure that it will continue on. And he described what he was about to do or what he did. And he planted, this is Reb Chiya, the greatest of his generation, he planted flax. And he harvested the flax, and he made nets, and he trapped deer. And from the deer, he made hides. He was involved in writing Sifrei Torah, really Chumashim. And he wrote five Chumashim. Wrote five, the five books of Moses. Each one he wrote in a separate volume. And he taught five children. And he had those five children each teach the others. And he taught the six orders of the Mishnah to six children, each one a separate order of Mishnah, and had again made sure that each one teach the other. He not only laid the foundation of a new generation, he taught them the secret that you have to be Marbitz Torah, you have to spread the Torah. And the Rebbe comments as Godel Maisachi, how great, he's Makana, he's jealous of the greatness of Rebbe Chiya. In fact, the Gemara, that Gemara says Reish Lakish, who was in the process of marking the graves of the tzaddikim, could not find the grave of Rabbi Chiya, and he sensed, he felt he was not privileged to do so, and he didn't know why. And he was told, says, even though Reish Lakish was a disciple, a colleague of Rabbi Yochanan, he had seen Rabbi Yehuda. He had also seen, says Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. He said, even though he was a great scholar, but he wasn't Marbitz Torah, he didn't spread Torah like Rabbi Chiya. And the Gemara describes where Rabbi Chiya is in the other world, and says Rabbi Yochanan in the other world is next to Rabbi Yanai, and Rabbi Yanai is next to Rabbi Chanina. He says Rabbi Chanina is next to Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Yochanan can't get close to Rabbi Chiya. In a sense, Rabbi Noach is the Rabbi Chiya of this generation. How many thousands, tens of thousands of people owe their spiritual existence to that man? And it isn't just them, it's their children and their grandchildren, and some of them great-grandchildren. I'd like to end to share with you a vort, an insight that I heard in the name of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. At the end of the days, or our days, we will have to give an accounting before Hashem. And it's described often, din v'cheshbon. We will have to be judged, and there'll be an accounting. And the question is, it seems to be redundant, din and cheshbon. What are the two things? And Rabbi Aaron explained, din, the judgment, is what we actually did. A person lives a life, he's done positive things and things which are not so positive, and they're all weighed. It's a final judgment. But one is not finished through just one lifetime. There's a cheshbon, there's a calculation. And he gave it as an example, Rashi. How could one calculate the good that Rashi created in this world? Ultimately, any student of the Torah is a student of Rashi's. Any student of the Talmud is a student of Rashi's. As we continue to learn and to teach, Rashi's zechuyos, his merits, can keep on adding up. There's an ultimate cheshbon at the end of the days. The one could calculate the sum total of one does. One can't see it in just one lifetime. It's only at the end of history can one make the final calculation. That's the cheshbon. One wonders, what is the cheshbon of the holy nifter of Noach Zatzal? It isn't just his one lifetime. All that you saw that he did, he put into motion. The Mir Hashem will continue on after his lifetime. and not only his direct Talmidim, but being at the forefront of the Kirov movement, he inspired so many others to go themselves, to become, to go and involve themselves, and to touch other people. It's again, it's a tremendous privilege to be able to be here. I hope so that we should all be inspired by his example, in the sense that we'll go on, and what we will do will again add more zechuyos to the cheshbon of Rav Noach, Yitzchak Baruch.